Well, we want to bid you all welcome to the Lord's house tonight. It's good to see you all gathered in for our evening gospel service. And we just want to commence, if you can keep your seats. We're just going to start off by singing the hymn, or the little chorus, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away." And for some reason, this isn't going there. Well, that'll work. There we go. So we'll just remain seated and we'll sing this little chorus together. Thank you. He's the one that we want to proclaim to you this evening. My Lord, my love, the one who was crucified. Crucified for you and crucified for me. He's the one that we love to sing about. He is the one that we long to have more knowledge of and more love for each and every day. And with that in mind, let's just come to God in prayer. Let's ask for his help for the remainder of this service. You pray in your own heart that the Lord would speak to you and that he would have a word for you. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, in the stillness of this meeting, we come before your holy presence. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. O love divine, what hast thou done that the immortal God hath died for me? Lord, we cannot fathom it. We cannot take it in. Lord, what love you had for us in sending Jesus Christ into this world. But Lord, we are so thankful and we are so grateful that the blood of Jesus Christ washes us and cleanses us from all sin. Lord, it's on that blood that we come before thee tonight. It's because of Christ and what he has done for us that we can come to thee in prayer. And we thank thee for this great privilege and blessing. And Lord, we do pray that you would be with us in this service. We do pray that your hand would be upon us, that you would speak to each and every one of us throughout the rest of this meeting. Lord, we do pray for those who are unable to make it out to the service this evening. Lord, we would not be unmindful of those that are sick. We pray for Sean at this time, Lord. Put your hand of healing upon him. Lord, we do pray for Margaret as well this week. You know the worries and concerns that she has. Lord, we do pray that you would keep her in the very palm of your hand. Lord, we pray for our sister Maureen as well. Lord, continue to strengthen her and continue to heal her body, we ask. And Lord, we do pray for those who perhaps are still shut in. Lord, still unable to get out because of fear of this virus. Lord, we do pray that you would be with them and that they would know your abiding presence tonight. Lord, we do pray for our pastor as well at this time in the land of Romania. We pray for Jonathan and for Aaron as well, Lord. Give them a blessed time tonight as they would worship thee there in the land of Romania. And Lord, as they would seek to come home this week, Lord, bring them home in safety. We pray the same for David McCauley too. Lord, we pray that through his ministry, Lord, that some soul would come to know thee as their own Savior. Lord, we do pray, put thy seal of approval on his ministry there in Uganda. And Lord, bring him home safely this week, we ask. Lord, we pray for our brother Phil as he is away preaching tonight in Auchnacloy. Be with him. Lord, give him the fullness of the Spirit, Lord, and as he would preach the Word of God, we do pray that it would be effective in the hearts of men and women. Lord, we pray for our brother Greg as well, down there in Resharkin. Lord, bless his ministry. And Lord, may he know the indwelling and the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost in his ministry. Lord, we would ask that you would also be with the believers in Ukraine at this time. Lord, you know the situation. It is a very fragile situation. Lord, we do pray that you would be with your people there. Lord, cover them with thy wings. Give them help from on high. And Lord, we pray that above all, in this situation, that your name would be honored and glorified. Lord, we meet together tonight, and we want to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come to worship thee, we do pray that our worship would be acceptable in thy sight. We pray that as we would sing the hymns, Lord, that our hearts would be full of love and praise for thee as we do so. Lord, as we come later on to read thy word, and as the message is proclaimed, Lord, we pray, show us Christ. Show us Christ in all of his fullness. Show us Christ as he is crucified and bearing our sins. Lord, make him real to us this evening, and may we know the help of God in the gospel service. Lord, speak to sinners tonight. Speak to those who are still outside of thee. Lord, perhaps those who have backslidden, gone far from thee, have left their first love. Lord, break their hearts, we pray. We pray that they would know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the end of this night. And we pray that everything that we would do in this service would honor and glorify his precious name. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. We come to our second hymn this evening. It is the hymn 316. A trembling soul, I sought the Lord, my sin confessed, my guilt deplored. How soft and sweet his words to me, I took thy place and died for thee. And again, we'll stand while we sing this hymn together. may be seated. Well, we do want to welcome you all to the house of God. As we've said, it's a pleasure to see you all out, and we pray that God will be with us as we come to study his word this evening and as we come to hear a wonderful message of the gospel once again. The announcements for the incoming week: on Tuesday at 7 p.m., the Youth Challenge will continue, and we'd encourage all the boys and girls to come out to learn more about Pilgrim's Progress, about how Christian is journeying to the Celestial City. Come and hear what that teaches us from the Bible. And then on Thursday, our midweek service at 8 p.m., Mr. Park will continue in his series on the nine fruit of the Spirit, and we do pray that you would come out. We ask that you would come out and be with us in the time of prayer especially, as there will be special prayer offered up for the Christian school that evening. Then on Friday, there will be our youth fellowship, and Mr. Chrissy Blair, we apologize for the misspelling of your name, but I think we have it right this time. Chrissy Blair will be coming on Friday night to bring the Word of God to the young people. So young people, come along and hear what the Word of God says. And on Saturday, we'll have our open air again in Ballymoney at 11 a.m. Next Lord's Day, we begin with the morning prayer meeting at 8 a.m. Then the Sabbath school is at 10:30. The Bible class is at 10:30 as well. And our brother Phil will be dealing with doctrine once again. So come along and hear what Phil would have to say. At 12 noon is the worship service. We'll be continuing. Mr. Park will be continuing his series in Meditations in Mark. It's a study of that second gospel. And do pray for the Reverend Park as he would take that service. And next Lord's Day, it is the family night service then in the evening at 7 p.m. It will be preceded by the half hour of prayer at 6:30. And the Reverend Park once again will be there to bring the Word of God. And our singer next Lord's Day will be Miss Charlotte Cackey. So come and hear the gospel once again. We invite you to do that. Another announcement that wasn't made this morning, but we just want to make you aware that there will be a breakfast held for the Ballymoney Independent Christian School on Saturday, the 12th of March, and it will be from 8:30 to 12 o'clock. And we would be very pleased to see you along. Come and support the work of the Christian School and get a wee fry as well. There's no better way to start the day than with a good Ulster fry. So do remember that as well on the 12th of March. And we want to thank you again for your tithes and offerings for God's work. And today is the Home Mission Outreach envelopes. Next week is the LTBS envelopes and the Missionary Covenant support. Do remember to pray for the land of Romania. Remember to pray for the Reverend Park too, and for Jonathan and Aaron as they make their way home. Pray for every project that they have been to visit, and pray for the pastors out there that they would know the Lord's presence at this time. And do pray for our brother David as well. He's coming home this week. I think he's enjoyed his time out in Uganda, but do pray that he would have safe travels home and that what was done and said there will have lasting impacts, not just here in this world, but for eternity too. Do remember to pray for him. We'll just come to one more hymn before we come to the Word of God this evening. It's the hymn 351. This is my favorite hymn. It has my favorite verse. I think I've told you this before. I think we've sang it here before when I've been preaching. I just love it so much that I wanted us to sing it tonight. And Mervyn mentioned it this morning. Chorus, "It is well with my soul." And perhaps we could sing that third verse unaccompanied. It is my favorite verse, and you'll see why when we get to that third verse. But we'll sing this hymn together. We'll stand together while we sing.
Thank you. sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. I sin not in part, but the whole. It's nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget the meek. Thank you.
Singing. Love to hear it belted out. It's good to hear those words. I pray that each and every one of us will be able to say as we leave the church this evening, it is well. We can know with all assurance and with all certainty that our souls are sealed for eternity because Christ has purchased them with his blood. We want to turn in our Bibles this evening to the scriptures found in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse number 18. 1 Peter in the chapter 2, beginning to read at verse number 18. Let's hear what God's word would have to say to us. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, hear the word of God says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. This is the word of God. Therefore, let us receive it as such. Let us hear it as such. And we pray that God will bless it to our souls. Perhaps we could just stand for a moment's prayer, just to change your positions, so you can get the legs stretched out. Don't worry, we won't want to keep you too long this evening, but we'll just come to our God in prayer, ask for his help as we come to another gospel message. Our eternal God and Father in heaven, Lord, we bow in your presence once again. Lord, we feel the need. Lord, we feel the weakness of our own flesh. Lord, therefore I ask, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, may this not just be another gospel message. May this not just be another time that we hear the gospel message, but Lord, may the word of God be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword this evening. May it pierce the hearts of men and women this evening. Lord, those that are in their sin, we pray that they would see the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior by the end of this night. For thy people, Lord, edify them, lift them up in their most holy faith. Lord, we do pray, be with each and every one of us now. Help us in the study of thy word. Lord, we pray, give help in the Holy Ghost to understand and apply everything that thy word is saying to us. We ask all of these things in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Is it just me, or has the news ever since 2016 just been bad news? It seems like everything and every time the news comes on, there's a bad story, there's something up there that is being reported on in our news, and there's always then something to come along. Once that thing has sort of died down, has run its course, another thing comes along to replace it and to take its place. First, in 2016, it was all about Brexit. I don't know if that was bad news or good news, but when the vote took place for Brexit, that's all anyone could ever talk about. It's all they could talk about. There were certain decisions that had to be made, and those decisions were talked about and how they would affect the country, and how, because of Brexit, the country would be affected, and what the negotiations would mean for our country, and how negotiations were going with Brussels. That was all on the news. We were all looking forward to getting rid of Brexit, not having to hear about Brexit anymore. Then COVID hit in 2020, and to be honest, we very quickly would have wanted to go back to hearing about Brexit. And for the past 2 years, COVID has dominated the news headlines. Daily, we have been hearing the daily figures, the numbers that are released, and how there's changes in restrictions, and how the rules will apply to us, and how the rules change, and what we have to do to comply with the rules. And whilst the pandemic is still here, is still ongoing, we see that there are signs that we are starting to come out now of that pandemic. We're on the other side of it, it would seem. The news now is no longer dominated by COVID and facts about COVID. But now we see, in the past number of days, Ukraine has been invaded by Russia. That is the massive major headline. That is the bad news at this very time. We've all seen the devastating reports on the news about Russia's attack on Ukraine and how it has left many people killed, many people injured, and many people fleeing for their lives from the country. And we have a duty as God's people to pray for the nation of Ukraine, and especially to pray for those who are God's people in Ukraine as well. But in a world filled with bad news, in a world filled with news that always ever seems to be bad, there is good news this evening. And that good news is centered and focused on the work and person of Jesus Christ. That is what the word gospel literally means. It means it is good news. And I believe here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, the verse that we have read there where it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." I think in that verse we have very succinctly summed up the gospel. And therefore, this evening, I would like us to consider, for our title, the gospel in a nutshell. Because in this verse here, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, we have the gospel in a nutshell. We have all that we need to know for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what I would like us to consider this evening. Firstly, I would like you to think about the recipients of the gospel. Because in this verse number 24, we see that the Apostle Peter, writing under the inspiration of God, is speaking about those who are in sin. He speaks there in verse 24 about our sins. And that is who is receiving the gospel. The gospel is universal to all men and women. It is open to all men and women. And it is that same gospel that we present to you each and every week, and to each and every one of you gathered in here tonight. There's not a different gospel for one person as to another. The gospel is the same. But however, before we receive that good news, that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry to break it to you, but we have to give you the bad news. That bad news is the news about ourselves. We are sinners. We are sinners who have offended a holy God. And there are certain things that we must come to realize about ourselves to then see how wonderful and how amazing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Firstly, we must state that we have all sinned. And as Peter is writing here to the believers scattered through Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, he reminds them of what they have come from. In 1 Peter 1, verse 14, he mentions there in that verse, just over a previous page, in 1 Peter 1, verse 14, he says there at the end of the verse, "Fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." These believers knew what it was to sin, to be in sin, because they had been saved from it. Just as we who know Christ, who trust in him for salvation, know the sin that we have been saved from. And Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he lists off many different kinds of sin. He speaks about different sinners such as thieves, adulterers, fornicators, drunkards, idolaters. The list goes on and on. He lists off many different sins. But what does he say to the church there in Corinth? In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11, he says, "Such were some of you. Such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been redeemed, you have been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. You've come from sin. You've been saved from darkness into the marvelous light of God's glory." And this is what the Christian has been saved from. Perhaps you're here in this meeting this evening and you have never trusted Christ for salvation. Then you are still a sinner. You're still a sinner here tonight who has not experienced the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that sin is an offense. Because God is holy, he cannot have sin in his presence. And the picture of the word used here in 1 Peter chapter 24, where it says he bare our sins, that word sins, it gives us a picture of an arrow, and an arrow heading toward a mark. And if we were to take that picture and apply it to how sinful man is, and how he has missed the mark that God has set, then we have missed that standard so badly. Imagine, just try and imagine if you can, I know it's not easy, but imagine that I have a bow and arrow in my hand. Some of you might have a great imagination and you can do it. And imagine that there is a target down there where the organ is. And I have my bow and arrow, I'm ready to hit the mark. And then I just turn and fling it the complete other way. That is a very poor picture to demonstrate how far short we have fallen of what God requires of us. We have missed the mark so badly that our sins now condemn us. Our sins condemn us to a lost eternity in hell. In our sins, we have completely missed the mark that God has set for us. that standard of holiness which he requires of us. And the Bible tells us that we have not just fallen short of God's glory, but we have completely failed to get anywhere near the standard of holiness that God requires of us. That's why he says in Romans 3, verse 9 to 11, both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. No one. But this is who the gospel is given to. These are the recipients of the gospel, sinners. We who are dead in trespasses and sins are the recipients of God's gospel. That is the good news tonight, that Christ has died for us, that we can know sins forgiven because we are the recipients of his wonderful gospel. You are the recipient of God's gospel tonight. This verse mentions being dead to sins in verse number 24 in First Peter chapter 2. But we read also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that we are dead in our sins. The Bible tells us there that you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. While we might sometimes describe sin as a sickness and as a disease, that is true, but it is so much more than that. It has killed us spiritually in that there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. We are dead in sin. We cannot do anything to revive us, ourselves. But we praise the Lord Jesus Christ that he said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord Jesus Christ offers you life tonight. Even though you're dead in trespasses and sins, even though you're dead according to God, you can be raised up to life again in Jesus Christ. Therefore, as those who receive the gospel, there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves from the wrath to come. We are dead in sin, but it is Christ that can quicken us. Christ that can bring us back to life, to newness of life, because of what he accomplished at Calvary. We are the recipients of the gospel, those who are sinners, those who are dead in their sin. You, tonight, you are the recipient of God's gospel. Secondly, I would like us to consider the Redeemer of the gospel. Because we read in this verse the one who Peter is talking all about, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. We see here that Peter uses Christ as the subject of his verse, the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is in him that the focus of this verse is upon. These verses at the close of 1 Peter 2, they show us how Christ is to be an example to the believers. There in verse number 21, we read, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Christ is our example as believers. Christ is our example as Christians. But that does not mean that Christ's death on the cross was just a mere example. He was not just showing what it was to be faithful to a cause. He was not just showing what it was to be a mere martyr for his faith. No, Christ's death on the cross was much more than an example. The death of Christ was so much more than that, as we will come to see. There are some important things that we must note from this verse here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Note the words there, his own self. His own self. The original Greek there for that word, it is one word. And it literally means he himself. It's putting emphasis and placing emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the focus of the entire scriptures. And more specifically, he is the focus of this verse. Alan Jackson, he wrote a song called It's All About Him. And the chorus of that song that he wrote, it says there, It's all about him and the love that he gives, redemption and hope for all who have sinned. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him and his death on the cross to purchase redemption for you. And the gospel is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The original word here for he himself, it also points us to the fact that Jesus Christ alone is the one who purchases for us redemption. It was Christ and him only who accomplished our salvation. Salvation is a Trinitarian work. It is a work of all three persons of the Godhead. Adrian Rogers, he had a quote, and he said, it was God the Father who thought it. It was God the Son who bought it. And it was God the Holy Spirit who wrought it. God the Father made that plan of redemption. He made that plan to save you from your sin. God the Holy Spirit, he applies that redemption to us. He quickens us again, brings us to new life. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ who accomplished redemption. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself a ransom for many that we might be saved. He accomplished it by dying on the cross at Calvary and there bearing your sins. Hebrews 9 verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered up to bear the sins of many, and unto them that shall look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I wonder, will you look to him tonight? Will you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from your sin? Also notice the word here in 1 Peter 2 verse 24, that word bear, who his own self bear our sins. Because this word is very significant. It is the key verb in this verse. It's what Christ has done. Christ bore our sins. It's the action that he performed. So what does that verb mean? Well, it literally means to take up or to carry. To take up or to carry. And what was it that Jesus carried? It was our sin. It was our iniquity. Matthew 8 verse 17 says, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. He bore our sins on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And the word picture here for this verb is also very interesting because it is a common verb used for a sacrifice on an altar. All the sacrifices that we read of in the Old Testament, where the lamb was placed upon the altar, where the bullock was placed upon the altar, they all point toward the spotless Lamb of God. They all point toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in that sense, the altar was the cross, and the sacrifice was the Lord Jesus Christ. And why did he offer himself up as a sacrifice? Why did he do it? Well, it was so that you and me, who have sinned against him, could be redeemed, could be brought back into fellowship with God, could know the joy of having our sins forgiven, and could know the eternal hope of having a home in heaven. Do you not want to know that joy tonight? Do you not want to know the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that your sins are washed under the blood of Christ? Knowing that you have the Lord on your side. Knowing that you are no longer an enemy to the one who is all-powerful and control of the universe, but you are now his son and daughter. Because you can know that tonight. You can know the joy of having your sins forgiven. You can know the joy of being part of the fold and family of God. But we ask the question, well, where did he bear our sins to? That word here, bear, means to carry. It means to be lifted up. Where did he bear them to? Well, Psalm 103, verse 11, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. He lifted them off our account, and he put them as far away from us as possible. Christ deals with our sin when we are saved. They are gone, never to be remembered. We also notice the words here, in his own body, in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. And this is a reference to the physical torment that the Lord Jesus Christ endured on the cross. The Bible tells us just in the previous verse there, in verse number 23, that he was reviled. He was reviled. That means to be abused. Christ went through the most terrible abuse before he went to the cross and while he was on the cross. Tells us also in that verse, number 23, that he suffered. That he suffered. And it was at the hands of cruel sinners. the hands of the Jewish mob, the hands of the Roman soldiers that our Lord Jesus Christ suffered. He was beaten, spat upon, impaled with a crown of thorns, and then nailed to a cross to suffer. Why? Why would someone, the perfect Son of Heaven, suffer for the sinful sons of Adam? Why? Why would he do it? Well, so that he could bear our sins on the cross in his own body. Because our sins were placed on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Romans 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. This is why Christ died, to destroy sin in our bodies, to bear our sin there upon the cross. And Christ had to become man in order to take away our sin. Romans 8, verse 3 tells us that God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ had to come to this world. He had to become a man. He had to take on flesh and go to the cross to bear away our sin. Our sins were placed on him there at the cross. He took the punishment that we deserved. Ours was the sin, but his was the punishment. They were our sins, and yet he bore them. I wonder, do we ever truly stop for a moment and think about what that really meant? It was our sin. Ours was to be the judgment, yet Christ bore the punishment for it. That wonderful little chorus, we sang it at the start. That's why I wanted to sing it. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. And Christ paid the debt for you tonight. He paid the debt for your sin so that you could be saved, so that you could go free, so that you could know the joy of having your sins dealt with at the cross. He paid that debt for you. So I wonder tonight, will you come to him and accept his mercy, accept his offer of salvation? We also notice those words here in verse number 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. On the tree. Literally, that can mean on the wood. And Jesus Christ, he suffered on the cross of Calvary to bear away our sin. While he was on the cross, he felt agony in spirit that we could never know, that we could never fathom. Because there he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He endured such spiritual torment that we will never understand in this life. And again, we ask, why did he do it? Well, Galatians 3, verse 13 tells us it was to redeem us from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Christ on the cross of Calvary, on that tree of Calvary, was cursed for us so that we could go free, so that we could know the joy of our sins forgiven. And in this chapter too, there is a parallel with Isaiah 53, that great chapter of the Bible that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, at the end of the verse, by whose stripes ye were healed. And Isaiah 52, what do we read there? Or in Isaiah 53 in verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is the Redeemer of the gospel. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one who was crucified for you. I wonder tonight, do you know him? Do you know this Redeemer? Because to know him is life everlasting, to know him is joy everlasting, and to know him, it's freedom everlasting. Have you ever asked him to come into your life, to take away your sins? If you haven't, can I ask another question? Why? Why have you never come to Christ? What is holding you back? You see how wonderful his offer of salvation is. You see that it is free. It has been purchased for you by his death on the cross. What are you waiting for? come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Know him as your Savior tonight, and you will know the Redeemer of the Gospel. The Redeemer of the Gospel. Lastly, I would like us to see that there is the renewal in the Gospel. The renewal in the Gospel. Because once we are saved, we are given new life. It's what we call the new birth. Peter says here in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. We are no longer to walk after sin. We are no longer to seek pleasure in this world and in the pleasure of sin. But we are to find our full and complete contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were purchased by Christ to be a holy people. Peter deals extensively with holiness in the chapter just previous, in 1 Peter chapter 1. And he mentions holiness multiple times. And what does he tell us? He calls us to be holy as Christ is holy. And we are to be holy in every aspect of our lives when we are saved. We are to live lives no longer dominated by sin, but instructed by the Word of God, instructed by what he has given to us in his Word. And if you're saved in here tonight, then I want to address you specifically at this moment, because I want you to know that you are righteous now. You're righteous. If you have trusted in Christ for your salvation, then you are declared righteous. That word righteous, it means to be declared right or accepted in the sight of God. That is your current state as a child of God. You are righteous. You will be no more righteous in heaven as you are this very day, because Christ has declared you as right. God has declared you as right in his sight because of what Christ has accomplished for you. And if you're saved, then God has already declared you as righteous because of that wonderful redemption purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great comfort that is to our souls. Yes, we can get holier, we can be more holy, we can be more Christ-like, but we will never be more righteous because God has declared us as right. God has declared us free from sin. But he says here that we are to live unto righteousness. We are to live unto righteousness. The whole goal of Jesus Christ dying on the cross was so that we might live holy lives that honor his name. And if you're a child of God in here today, I wonder, is that your testimony? Is that your testimony? Because this has been a challenge to my own heart. Am I living unto righteousness? Am I applying myself unto the righteousness that God has set forth in his word? Not always. But I wonder, are you living unto righteousness tonight? Are you obeying God's word and making it your guide through life every day? Because we will never be more righteous than we are right now if we are saved. But if we have never trusted in Christ, sinner, if you have never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then will you come to him tonight? Will you come to the one who has borne your sins in his own body on the tree? The one who has died to remove your sins from you. I urge you, tonight, place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You tonight are the recipient of God's gospel. You can know the Redeemer of God's gospel so that you can be renewed in your spirit, so that you can be given that new life that only the Lord Jesus Christ grants. We have looked this evening at the gospel in a nutshell. It's the good news. It's the news that Christ has died for you to redeem you from your sin and to make you holy. So will you not come to him tonight? Will you not know the joy of having your sins forgiven? And will you not know and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal? It is the best decision that you could ever make in this life, even better than marriage. I might get a kick for saying that, but it's the best decision that you could ever make in this life. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and know the Redeemer of God's gospel, the most wonderful Savior you will ever find. Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray, what we are not, make us. Lord, what we have not, give us. Lord, what we know not, teach us. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to apply ourselves to righteousness. Lord, to live holy lives that are acceptable unto thee because of what you have done for us. Lord, we have seen thy wonderful redemption again tonight. We have seen it in the gospel. We have seen how you have borne our sins away for us. Lord, as your people, as a church, may we never lose sight of that. Lord, I pray, help us always to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and that wonderful redemption that he has purchased and applied to us. Lord, we do pray, speak on to men and women's hearts tonight who are still in their sin. Lord, help them to realize that they have fallen short of your mark, that they have completely missed the mark that you have set and that standard that you have set. And I pray that tonight they would come to know thee as their Savior. Lord, speak to their hearts, convict them of sin, and draw them lovingly to yourself, we pray. Lord, bring us to our homes in safety. Watch over us in this incoming week, and may we live lives that honor the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we think, say, and do. We pray that you would keep us now for time and for eternity. We ask this in Christ's worthy and precious name. Amen.